Good morning, and a lovely morning it is. We're actually turning to Romans and the chapter 6, just to read some verses this morning. Romans chapter 6, and I'd like, as we read these verses, I'd like us to notice that there's a great war going on right amongst us here, in the heart of everyone who's really saved. There's a war going on. Let's read about it. Verse 1, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We'll end the reading there. Some deep theological things were stated, and stated in deep theological language, which perhaps you found a little difficult to follow. Well, always remember this, here and there, even in the most difficult passage, you will find the truth set forth in a simple fashion. I'm thinking now of the old hen. Sadly, not too many of you know too much about hens, nor are acquainted with their ways. But if you ever watch a hen out there scratching in the dust, you know how she walks forward, looking all around her, walks a couple of steps forward, scratches, and then steps back again and looks down to see what her scratching has uncovered. Now, she scratched stones, dirt, old bits of sticks and leaves, none of which she's going to eat, but here and there amongst all this, there's a little bug or two, which serves as a snack. In other words, amongst all that she has just scraped and scratched through, there's one or two little items. Now, the Word of God, we wouldn't for a moment suggest, is like dirt. But there are passages that are not quite so easily understood or digested. But as you look, you'll find some little piece that you can easily grasp. Now, just before we turn to Joshua, if you look, for instance, at verse 12 of Romans 6 that we just read, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now, that's not too hard to understand. The chapter indicates to us that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved, and we have been delivered from the power of sin. And it is our duty now to live in holiness and no longer live under the power of sin. When I started out preaching, it just comes to my mind now, I remember an outline on the matter of sin in the life of the Christian that I frequently used. Three words all beginning with P that really outline the Christian's relationship with sin. If you're saved today, listen to this. First of all, you have been delivered from the punishment of sin. That's what the Lord Jesus did for you at the cross. He took your place and was punished for you. And you will never be punished. You will never endure the wrath of God, for the Lord Jesus endured it for you. Then the second P is power. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have deliverance from the power of sin. We don't have to remain under it. Its chains have been broken. We're free. Like Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who died and was buried. And there he was, under the power of death. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he rolled the stone away from the mouth of the cave, the mouth of the tomb. And he called in, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was immediately delivered from the power of death. And he came out. He came out walking, alive. And so it is with the child of God. When you're born again, you're delivered from the power of sin. And there's one more P, and we haven't yet experienced this one, but we will. We shall one day be delivered from the presence of sin. There's no sin in heaven. And bless God, that's where each one who is saved is going. And oh, it's hard just to say which are the greatest of the joys of heaven. I'm sure the greatest will be seeing the Lord Jesus. But one of the greatest must be deliverance from the presence of sin. It annoys, it vexes, it grieves the child of God. You wish you could be away from it. You wish you could withdraw from it. But one day we will. One day we will. The point is, boys and girls, and this is what we're going to be looking at, we're engaged, each one that's saved, we're engaged in a battle with sin every day. You remember the old hymn? Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And the enemy, the world, the devil, our old nature, is there all the time, tempting us to sin, whispering to us, oh, try that, that's wonderful. Don't worry about what the teacher says, or mommy or daddy says, or the Bible says, or God says. I tell you, you'll enjoy this. Do it. Do it. And we're constantly having to close our ears against such temptations and run away from them. There's a battle on all the time against sin. Now, when we turn to Joshua, the last time we were speaking about him, he was preparing the people for crossing over the Jordan. And you remember how God opened the way, led them through the divided Jordan. Wonderful, wonderful miracle. We've already considered how that Israel entering into the promised land is a picture of us going to heaven. We've considered that, haven't we? Crossing over death, the power of which Christ has broken, just as the Jordan River's power was broken, and they walked over as easy as a stroll on the beach and entered the promised land. So it will be one day for the child of God at the end of this life when we enter heaven. But the wonderfulness about the Bible is that a passage can present to us a picture of one particular truth, but if you look at it slightly from a different angle, it'll present another picture. Another picture. And the other picture that we're going to look at now is that this entering into the promised land, as well as showing to us what it will be like for the child of God when they come to die and enter heaven, it also pictures for us what it's like to be born again, to leave the old ways and to enter the land of holiness, to enter the land that God, through his mercy and through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, has purchased for the people of God, and in which they may live and enjoy the blessing of God. So there's another picture. this crossing of the Jordan presents to us. This entering of the Israelite nation into the land of Canaan. It's another picture. And it's a picture of the Christian entering into the new life that is found in Jesus Christ. Remember what the Savior said, I am come that you might have life. And he leads us into that life when we're born again. And that wonderful experience is depicted for us here as Joshua leads the people into the promised land. So I want you to focus your mind now on that fact and look for helpful parallels and hints of the Christian life presented to us in this wonderful account of Israel entering into the promised land. Joshua was a soldier. He was a soldier. He who was appointed by God to be the leader of Israel and to bring the people of Israel into the promised land was a soldier. Now that tells you something. That tells you something. It tells you that there's war ahead. That there are battles ahead. The fact that God has appointed a soldier to lead indicates that the skills, the strength, the knowledge of a soldier is needed to lead us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a soldier. He is called a man of war. A man of war. Don't you ever be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Don't you ever take up the notion the world has of him as a weak, sort of simpering person. He was a man of war. Just as Israel has entered into the promised land, crossed the river, Joshua meets someone very special. I want you to look at it. It's at the end of chapter 5 of Joshua. The end of chapter 5, verse 13. Now this is before the battle of Jericho. They're not too long into the land. They haven't really yet begun the campaign to occupy it, but here's what happens. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by or near Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, that's a soldier speaking. He didn't say, oh, good morning, it's nice to meet you. No, here is one he sees with a sword in his hand, and Joshua, as a warrior, reacts. And he said, are you for us or are you against us? He was ready for war, ready for fight. He's the man God appointed. But look who this person is. Verse 14, and he said, this man with the sword in his hand, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Who was this? With a sword in his hand, not in his sheath, in his hand. Who was it? It was the Lord Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus. And we know it was the Lord Jesus. This is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus. He is the captain of the armies of heaven. You can read about him leading the armies of heaven in Revelation chapter 19, coming to this earth. We'll see him one day, even as Joshua saw him, the leader of the armies of heaven. And Joshua immediately recognized who he was, because he fell down and he worshipped him. And he was given an instruction that surely you must find familiar. Look at what it says. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, verse 15. Can anybody remember that being said on another occasion? Moses, when he was at the burning bush, he came to see this wonderful sight, and as he approached, God spoke to him and said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. So it's the same person here speaking to Joshua in the same terms. And Joshua did what Moses did. He falls on his face. Here's the Lord. And he manifests himself as the captain of the Lord's host, because are about to commence a great war. That's why we read Romans 6. When you get saved, you become a soldier. You become a soldier. And you have many enemies to fight. And like all soldiers, you need training to prepare you for the fight. You need instruction. I remember the time the army was much more evident on our roads. And you used to talk to the lads who were out there on patrol. And they had a lot of equipment, radios, guns of all sizes, lots of ammunition. But you know what else they had? A lot of pictures. Yes, a whole album full of pictures. Pictures of who, do you think? Pictures of the wicked men who were active in the country. Terrorists, murderers, bombers. And the soldier was given pictures of them so that if he met them, he'd know who they were. Now the Lord, in leading us in this battle that now as Christians we are engaged in, he gives us instruction. He teaches us. He shows us the enemy. And he shows us how to deal with them. We'll learn more when we come back again to this passage. And now we're going to be looking at Joshua as he leads the people into the promised land. There was a great old preacher many years ago called Pastor Willie Mullen. And he was a great man for Bible studies. And on a Tuesday night in his church in Lurgan, hundreds and hundreds of people came from every church and denomination to be part of his Bible studies. And he did one time a study of the book of Joshua. And he was a great man for alliteration, that is, rhyming words. And he called his study of Joshua, Journeying with Joshua. And we'll do a little journeying with Joshua as we consider the war and the battles that he is engaged in. And remember, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank thee that in every crisis thou art there, even as you appeared unto Joshua just at the beginning of the great battles that would be taking place as Israel sought to occupy the land given them of God. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself again to us. Show thyself in these dark days and grant us a breath of revival from heaven. Bless the school today, Lord. Bless the boys and the girls. Impress deeply upon their hearts the truth of God. Bless the teachers also and all the concerns, all the need of the school. We leave them with thee, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.